Thank you, Father, that you're the God who in Jesus rescued us. Thank you for that extraordinary truth and real experience. Thank you for giving us, reminding us of the backdrop to the whole of the rest of our lives. And we ask that you will continue to make yourself and all you want to give us just more and more available. And we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Welcome, St. Mary's. It's great to see you, and thank you for coming. You've resisted the charms of the sunshine, which could so easily have stopped you getting here. It's great to have you here, and thank you for leading us in worship. And yes, Don, the second time you've done it here. It's wonderful. It's great to have you here. Let me read to you. Let me read to you a few verses. John chapter 20, beginning at verse 24. John 20 and verse 24. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I seal the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you've seen me, you've believed. Blessed are those who've not seen me and yet have believed." I suppose one of my great Christian aspirations is to get to that stage in life where no matter what happens, however good or however difficult, I'm just smoothly progressing through life, maturing as a Christian, and becoming holier as a person. I want to be one of those really mature Christians who are unaffected by anything that happens, good or bad. And it's interesting, isn't it, that until we get to that stage, and probably some of you are there, until we get to that stage, we can often be either unduly encouraged or unduly discouraged by all that happens to us. When life doesn't seem to make sense, or it's difficult or out of control, we can sometimes begin to question all that we've believed about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's interesting at the moment, just talking to someone who's a victim of restructuring, not a serious victim, but some of the things that she's really enjoyed, she's no longer doing, and some of the things she's always hated doing, she's been left with. She'd have much preferred it the other way, but that was not what was happening. I won't go into that, I should just go on, really. Not least because I suddenly realized I made this note and I can't read what I've written. It was a really good story, but I've just forgotten it, so I'm so sorry about that. Thomas would have understood how we feel when things aren't at all easy. He was utterly committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, totally loyal to him. Twice, John in his gospel highlights that characteristic of Thomas. In chapter 11, he talks about Jesus deciding to go off somewhere. No one else among the disciples is particularly keen on the Lord Jesus' agenda. They think it's madness because it's not going to be a place where he's welcome and so easily could have had a difficult time. Thomas says, "Well, I'll go with him. I'll die with him if necessary. I'll put myself through whatever has to be. I'm going to stick with Jesus. In chapter 14, Jesus was going on in a slightly obscure way about what was going to happen. Perfectly clear that the disciples didn't really understand what he was talking about. Thomas, however, not wanting to miss out at all on what Jesus was saying, says, basically, Jesus, just stop there. We don't understand what you're saying. It sounds great, it sounds interesting, but we don't understand what you're talking about. Thomas determined not to miss out on what the Lord Jesus was trying to get across. Then came that first Good Friday, and Thomas was clearly devastated, trying desperately to reconcile all that had happened with all that he believed and about and expected from the Lord Jesus. He couldn't face at first being with the other disciples. He was so upset. We read in verse 24 how when the Lord Jesus came first to appear to the disciples, Thomas wasn't with them. He simply couldn't bear the thought of being with those with whom he'd had such an extraordinary time with the Lord Jesus. And when he did meet them in the week, he didn't trust himself to believe that they'd seen the risen Lord. In verse 25, we read the disciples told him that they'd seen the risen Jesus. And the original is, he has the sense that they kept on telling him. It was a repeated action. Every time one of them bumped into him, they were saying, Thomas, it's true, it's true. We've seen Jesus, he's been raised from the dead. Day after day, Thomas was told by different disciples that yes, they had seen him. But he simply couldn't believe it. And then the Lord Jesus took the initiative himself, as we see in the second part of verse 25 and 26. And he said to Thomas, stop doubting and believe. It actually has the sense in the original of stop becoming an unbeliever and become a believer. The Lord Jesus had seen the journey that Thomas had got himself on, seen the process that was happening in Thomas's life because of what he had been through that week. He understood the questions and the disappointment, the sense in Thomas of had it been three wasted years going around with this Jesus. Sense of doubting his own judgment, of sadness. The Lord Jesus could see it was draining all the energy and life out of Thomas's faith, leaving him no expectation of what Jesus might be doing. And Jesus came to Thomas, understood exactly what was happening, and was determined to bless him. Determined to give to Thomas the insight and experience that he needed, offering to Thomas that evidence on which he could build an enduring and stable faith that remained steady whatever the circumstances. Must have been odd for Thomas to hear the Lord Jesus saying, hear the Lord Jesus saying, here's my hand, put your finger in the mark of the nails. Here's my side, put your hand in and believe. Thomas knew Jesus hadn't been there when he'd said it to any of the other disciples. The other disciples hadn't had the chance to say it to Jesus because they hadn't seen him for a week. Thomas knew that Jesus had been listening, that he'd understood exactly what was happening, where Thomas was, and what Thomas needed. And because of that, Thomas was able to change direction. The one to whom Jesus had said, stop becoming an unbeliever and become a believer, did exactly that. He was able to change direction and get back to where he should have been. And then Jesus speaks directly to us in verse 29. Blessed are those who've not seen and yet have believed. They're words of genuine encouragement to you and me. We haven't seen physically the risen Jesus, and yet we trust him. And Jesus says, blessed are you. I want to bless you. I want to encourage you. I want to give you that which will enable you to be steady in your walk of faith, confident that I'm with you, reassuring that I've understood because I've listened into the conversations and understood what's happening in your life. He wants to come today to bless you, to encourage you.